Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
All right, it is Three Martini Lunch. How you doing, everybody? It is Chad Benson here today, filling in. We got Jim Garrity here. We do our three martinis. We do the good, the bad, and the crazy. And today we start with the good, and the good is...
Well, out in Oregon, where they had that awful shooting, some of the residents of Roseburg are not pleased that President Obama will be coming to their town. It was David Jukas, the publisher of the Roseburg Beacon, was on Bill O'Reilly last night, and he told the president not to come here. He's not welcome because they think he will grandstand for political purposes. He wants to come to our community, Jock said, and stand on the corpses of our loved ones and make some kind of political point. Chad, I cannot remember a presidential event gets so scorchingly scathed before it happened in what's supposed to be clearly a touchy-feely hugging the victims and a pep rally for gun control.
Well, I think that, and he pointed out something last night on Riley. They didn't even know who the victims were. They hadn't identified anybody, and already it was being politicized everywhere. And that, to me, shows you what, you know, this is what guns and the gun control debates, one of those things, gun control, pro-choice, pro-life, that elicits passion from people. And, you know, the president was, he came out immediately, and so did the White House, and they started, you know, talking about more control, more control, more control. And all of a sudden, you know, people are like, wait a minute here. People just died. We don't even know who's dead yet. And you're already talking about doing something about gun control. How about we just have our prayers with the people that lost their loved ones?
Yeah, I was going to say, and ordinarily you'd say, look, it's not good to see American citizens telling the president he's not welcome in a place. On the other hand, when you make an unprecedented move to politicize an event like this, you shouldn't be terribly surprised to see people reacting so negatively. So, you know, President Obama is more or less reaping what he sows.
And again, it's going to be one of those situations where when you talk about guns and you talk about something like this and you get yourself out in front of it and you make it about you and your position on a certain thing rather than what tragedy just happens. Like you said, you're going to reap what you sow. And I don't think a lot of people are going to be thrilled to see him there because they feel like they're using he's using this tragedy to further a message and a you know, a change in the wind when it comes to guns rather than coming out there to really be a shoulder for people to lean on. Now, let's take a look at the bad today on our martinis. Airspace run amok. It's very crowded over there. And of course, we're talking about Turkey and all that's going on with Syria. And Jim, this is a nightmare that seems to be getting worse and worse every single day. And Russia might be the boogeyman in the nightmare.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, we don't want to overstate this and say World War III is about to begin. We just want to observe that NATO has two Russian jets have gone over Turkish airspace without permission. Incidental, and the NATO's air secretary general has said, no, we don't believe that explanation at all. The violation lasted for a long time. And also in other news, two of the Turkish jets that are patrolling the border with Syria were placed on radar lock by Russian planes and surface-to-air missile systems. Now, gee, why would you do do you think that's to fight all of the significant air force of ISIS there, Chad? Do you think it's the significant air force of the Syrian forces against Assad? Only planes you're going to see flying fighter planes around there are going to be NATO.
You know, and it's funny because those MiG-29s were I mean, obviously, they're looking to dominate the sky. It's not the first time Russia's wandered into other people's airspace. And Putin wants to be a player on the back out there in the major leagues again, if you will. He wants to be somebody who is really, you know, a player on the major stage. And I think he's using Assad and he's using this as a way to get himself loved again, if you will, by his own people and feel like he's part of the game. And when you can use airspace, because again, ISIS doesn't have anything to fight. We're not looking for the ISIS Air Force. It's not happening. And when you're wandering around like this and you're already talking about putting ground forces, now you've got you're patrolling the skyways. There's a reason for that. You're setting up a base there. And he's doing it because, well, quite frankly, nobody's telling him not to.
Yeah. It's no certainty that a Turkey shooting down a Russian jet over its airspace or Russia shooting down a Turkish jet over Turkish Syrian border. We don't know that either of those would lead to a shooting war between NATO and Russia. but we can't exactly rule it out. And so hopefully by the time you listen to this, listeners, nothing's gotten worse. Cross your fingers.
Yes, I hope so. And finally, the crazy, crazy indeed, liberals debate whether it's okay to eat at Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. It's delicious. I don't really pick my food choices based on the political beliefs on any of the CEOs or any of the companies. But quite frankly, Chick-fil-A is delicious. Why wouldn't you want to eat there?
Well, it's kind of interesting. So just opened up in New York City, had huge crowds on the opening day. And over on some liberal blogs, you're seeing that, can you eat Chick-fil-A and still be a good liberal? Is it a violation? Are you anti-gay if you eat Chick-fil-A? Are you committing a progressive sin? The observation I just kind of would make about this is that if you're a conservative, you can't boycott everything that you disagree with. I guess you'll be going to Chick-fil-A every single night. And you can only watch Clint Eastwood movies and Adam Baldwin, right? And maybe like one or two other guys in there. If you're a conservative, you get used to watching movies, watching TV shows, probably reading some of the media that you disagree. You can't put an ideological filter into everything you encounter in life. And I think this is a more than a little bit obsessive compulsive. And I think this is kind of a very unhealthy way to go through life, to kind of pick up your EKG meter and try to measure them for signs of conservatism. And if they have any signs, you can't encounter them. You can't deal with them at all. It's a chicken sandwich, right? If you like it, eat it. If you don't like it, don't eat it. But don't try to see every single act of your life. The left was saying since the 60s, the personal is political. And this just seems like we're now beyond ordinary politics here. We're now in the form of kind of a psychological condition. This really does seem like some sort of obsessive compulsive disorder.
Well, I think that people wake up in the morning and they look to be offended and they look for ways to, you know, how can I go out and make a difference? And I'll make a difference by making sure that I can do all that I can to raise my voice louder than others, maybe shut other people up, and to banish that I don't like. And the fact is, it's a chicken sandwich, and it's a delicious chicken sandwich, and I love it. And I watch movies by people I don't agree with politically because they're talented at what they do. I listen to music by people I don't agree with politically because they're talented at what they do. I can take it for what it is. I can compartmentalize stuff and put it, hey, this person does this. I like what he does. I don't like and agree with what they say outside of that, but I appreciate their music or their work or whatever. It's the same thing. I can look at this and say, you know what? It's a sandwich and it's delicious.
You know, if you're a progressive and you're listening to the Three Martini Lunch, which is not that likely, but you know, we have our fans out there, and you get caught by another progressive eating Chick-fil-A, here's a surefire explanation. The devil made me do it. Which requires a belief in, you know, Orthodox Christianity and all that stuff. But alternately, you could say, no, I was just eating it because I wanted to reduce the carbon emissions of the next guy behind me. So there you go. I'm trying to eat them so they run out of sandwiches, and then they have to close, and then obviously everything will be fine.
Doesn't get any better than that. Yeah. Jim Garrity is his name. My name is Chad Benson. This, of course, has been the Three Martini Lunch. We've had the good, the bad, and the crazy it is indeed.